Hello, this is Kyle Jones. Tonight we are discussing Genesis and the Messiah. Our treatment will be on Genesis 10 and 11 concerning the event horizon of the diffusion of languages and the events that led up to this point. We will also be focusing on Sumerian texts, their language, the idea of the Messiah to come, the archetypal images in their heroes, and the cities by name that came out of this diffusion, as to the names of the heroes of old, or the men of renown of Genesis 6, the Nephilim, the Anglo-Saxon and Germanic, the Ents were considered the bullies or the tyrants, or the giants of old as well. And they built big houses. If you look in the Germanic mythologies of Odin and the Ents of the Anglo-Saxon, E-N-T-S. What we have here, starting in Genesis 10, is a vocabulary of about five major words for the word speech, or word. We have the word logos, concerning speech, dialect, reason, and logic, that culminates in the word logos for the Christ that came into the flesh. We have the word dialogue, syllogism, deductive syllogism, if you will, from Aristotle, and Platonic reasoning. But for our focus in the Hebrew, we will go to Genesis chapter 10. Reading of verse 1 and following. And these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem and Ham and Japheth. And sons were born to them and after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tyrus. And Gomer's sons were Ashkenaz, Riphath, Togarma, and Javan's sons were Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. The coasts of the nations were divided by these in their lands, each by his tongue, by their families and their nations. Now let me stop right here. We have not arrived at the division of languages at Babel. Yet, these people are seen divided by their tongue. Well, we continue to see the word speech and tongue and name and lip in the English Bible, but we don't know what the real meaning is. We would assume that one could translate that word the same. Well, this is not the case. What I'm going to do is go back and give a brief overview of the definitions of these words for speech, tongue, lip, boundary line, law, which all roughly mean the same thing if you're looking in English, but in Hebrew, these are specific divisions of thought. Number one, one of the first words is lashon. It means tongue. As we have seen in Genesis verse 5, as men were divided by their tongue. The word tongue, lashon, means families, nations, lands, or simply tribal dialect. It is a manner of speech. It is not a different language, but a way that one would speak to their wife or their son versus one speaking to somebody else for the first time in meeting them. So, if you were to go to, say, someplace in New York when you've lived in Louisiana, or, say, in Kentucky or Virginia all your life, you might have a hard time understanding exactly what their lashon was, or their idiolect, or idiomatic phrasing. I have met people from New York, being from the South, being fairly educated, I understand where they're coming from. And the reason why I understand where they're coming from is I'm a musician that deals with people from all over the world. But knowing that, being from the South, I can see where it would be offensive for somebody from New York to say some things that they do. Though, if you are from New York, that's the proper thing to do, is to be forthright in your speech and saying exactly what you feel. There's a sense of polity in the South that sometimes is not caught from the Southern mind in the North. or from the north. Therefore, there are divisions of tribes, or will, if you will, dialects, or speech, or idiolects, but we call that Lashon. Okay, the next word I want to cover, and it's probably my favorite word next to Shem, is Dabar. Dabar means order, it means law, it means speech. It means universal grammar. It means judgment. That's where you get the word Deborah. It's also the word for be, which means order. If you like to read, you can check out Maurice Maeterlinck's The Life of the Bee. And it discusses over 5,000 some dances that an ordered bee will show the colony or the hive where the flower beds are, say, 2.6 miles away or so. They give the windage, the distance, the weather, etc., plus some 5,000 other inferences to where the flower bed is by their dance that they did not study in a classroom. Well, that is the word for bee, order, law. Also, if you check out Dr. Olmsted's The Sacred Dance, you will see that the old hog, the dance of the Jews, as well as other older cultures, danced around a stone, particularly the old Jewish culture, and they called the stone the Dabar, or the thing of order. They would dance a circle, an ordered dance, in a circle around the Dabar, which means the thing of order. And I believe that the word Dabar is the Christ, or the allusion to Logos. I think that Dabar and Logos could be nearly interchangeable in their meaning. So I believe when I say Dabar, I'm thinking of the Christ in its maximal definition, if you will. The other sense of Dabar is speech, or ordered speech. The next word is sapa. It means lip, and it means language, from Spanish to French to Italian to Arabic, that kind of language. So this is a definite division of language, but it means lip also, where you get the boundary line of a culture, a country. We are divided by our laws and our speech by the borderline of a country. We've distinguished France from Italy, from Germany, from other countries based on their sapa, because sapa means language, lip, law, but lip and language is the term for it. The next word is Shem. Shem means law. It means authority. It means name, establishing a name of identity of the patronymic society, or the fathered society, the patron, the pater in Latin. It means to take on the identity of the father of the house and carry on his good Shem, his good name. This is the hope of the line that the Messiah would come out of the Hebrew cult, or the Hebrew or Israeli cult. I speak of cult not in a bad term, but in terms of a culture. Okay, Shem is very important. We'll see what happens at the division. The next is the word Yomer, and it means just to speak or to say out loud. That's an utterance. It's not, in my opinion, the more potent word, but it just simply means he said, she said, they said. So, let's continue here in verse 6. From verse 5, where it said everybody was distinguished by their family idiolect. Verse 6, and Ham's sons were Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush were Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Rama, and Sabdicta, and Sabtica, excuse me. And Rama's sons were Sheba and Dedan. And Cush fathered Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the land. That's your Nephilim, that's your bully. That was the men of renown that I mentioned about Genesis 6. He was a man of renown, a hero. And this is another term we'll be focusing on heavily, is the term for hero. The Hercules, the Gilgamesh, Carchemish, Bilgamesh. He was a mighty hunter before Jehovah. So it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before Jehovah. We will discuss the Sumerian Gis-Zax. Zax is where we get the word Theos, Deos, God. And Gis is the word bull. When you see pictures of the devil, you see the horns of the bull on the devil's head, the hooves on his feet, and the bull's or the buffalo's tail. Gis-Zax is that depiction. And we also have mythologies and hints that Nimrod did the same. He was the first to wear the crown, which comes out of the horns of the buffalo or the bull, and the hooves on his feet, and the tail wrapped around his waist is a symbol of man's dominion over animals. This is the mighty hero, and you see that in the buffalo garb that is worn by the American Indians. I believe if you study the Olmec culture and the Mayan culture, but particularly the Olmec, mix of Zapotec, Toic, culture, you're going to find these old Indians from, say, 2000 BC in the early Americas had the same culture that the old Babylonians did. And you can do your research in Dr. Alexander Hislop's work, The Two Babylons, to see that. Let's keep on going here. Verse 10, and the beginning of his, that's Nimrod's, kingdom was Babel. Babel originally meant Bav, door, as in you opening a door to something, and an El, God. This is a city, a door to God. I believe that they had already had their idiolects to say that this is us trying to get to God. And Erech, this is where we probably get the word Iraq from, and we do a distant study here on cultures, but Dr. Waddell, who was a lieutenant colonel stationed in Darjeeling, did his studies in Tibet and India, and he believes that the Indus Valley culture can track Krishna back to the Erech mythology, or the Erech god or hero, where we get the word Hercules from. The man with the 12 labors, who had 12 jobs to do, who had the club in his hand, and the dominance over the snake. Anyway, this is one of the examples of Iraq, the name of Iraq, that we probably can get our history of the hero who settled in the, or the ideas and stories of the hero that settled in the old world. And Dr. Waddell says he believes that there was an actual line of Hercules, and not in terms of mythology, but of actual hero worship. And heroes that came out of this family line that can go back to Gilgamesh, Nimrod, and so forth. Erech, well, and Akkad, and Kalna, in the land of Shinar. That's the plain, or the steppe. STEPPE. From that land he went forth to Assyria, and built Nineveh, and Rehoboth the city, and Kala, and Resen, between Nineveh and Kala, which is a great city. And Mizraim fathered Ludim, and Anannim, or Anamim, excuse me, and Lehabim, and Naphtuim, and Patrusim, and Caslahim, who came from the Philistines, and Kaphtorim. And Canaan, verse 15, and Canaan fathered his firstborn, Sidon, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, these are all the ites, okay, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterwards the families of Canaanites were routed. So here is the, what Dr. E.W. Bullinger would say, these are the line, or the genealogical, physiological lines of the sons of Cain, or the fallen race. These are not the men that are in the Book of Life, per se, but they are the historical men. The spiritual line comes through the replacement of Abel, Seth, and following, as the hope or the promise of the seed to come. That is the spiritual line, or the spiritual genealogies that you see the physical men sometimes not in there. Gaps, generation gaps are in the spiritual line between Adam and Christ. Anyway, following, furthermore, we have in verse 19, And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon. So we're getting into the idea of border here, or this is the cutting off place. I won't go into what I believe is an old Akkadian word for China. I want to say Zaza or Zana, which means the border or the cut off place, and it has to do with the people that were cut off coming from the Akkadian culture or the Levant culture. It's kind of an interesting study on that one. These are the Sinos, the Sinite people, the Sino-Chinese people. The border of the Canaanites were from Sidon, as you come to Gerar, as far as Gaza, as you go in towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and Adma, and Zeboim, even to Lasha. These were the sons of Ham. Once again, this is not the culture that took on the promise of line. It was Shem. We'll see later on. These are the people that I believe went down into Africa, as we call the Hamitic language or the Hamitic culture. This is the African culture. According to their families. this is Ham. According to their families. According to their tongues. And we have the word Lashon here, which means the family dialect or the idiolect. So at this point, once again, we're still speaking a fairly rough language that everybody can understand here. This is just an idiolect difference, an idiolectical difference. According to their tongues, Ham's family was spread in their countries and in their nations. So once again, the idea is that in their countries and nations, this is the separation, but it's not a different speech like Italian, French, and German yet. And to Shem was born, even to him, the father of all the sons of Eber, and the brother of Japheth, the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, and Asher, and Arpachshad, and Lud, and Aram. And Aram's sons were Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mosh. And Arpachshad fathered Shalak, and Shalak fathered Eber. And the two sons were born to Eber. The name of the one was Peleg. And we get our word Peleg. The Hebrew is the word division. Just for side notes, I believe that might be where we get our word to break or to divide. Peleg is the etymon. It could track back to the etymology of break. Parag, barak, break. But we get our Sumerian word for the same thing. It means to divide or division, a portion. The Greek word is merimnao, and it's the word barag in Sumerian. So Peleg is definitely a powerful word. And when you get to these names with any kind of extra addendum in the Bible, in the inspired word of, or the text of God, you need to focus on that word. I mean, you need to focus on every word, but there's an extra connotation to that meaning, Peleg, or at least the statement to it, for in the days the earth was divided. So that's what the Bible says about Peleg. Anyway, there's some information on that. Barag in Sumerian means to divide, division. It means to apportion. Break might very well be the word that comes out of that word. Anyway, Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan fathered Almadad, and Sheleph, and Hazamoth, Mavath, and Jared, and Hadaram, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. These all were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha. As you go to Sephar, an eastern mountain. These were the sons of Shem. Now, this is the important line right here. This is the word law, identity, name, authority. These were the sons of Shem according to their families, according to their tongues. And once again, we have the word Lashon, which means a tribal dialect. In their lands according to their nations. And this is the tribal dialect you want to be involved with, isn't Shem, because he's the one who the line of Christ came out of. And I believe it's the true logic, the true way to have spoken with Shem, okay? From the laws of Shem, or the house rule of Shem. These were the families of the sons of Noah by their generations in their nations. And from these nations were divided in the earth after the flood. So let me say again, these were the families of the sons of Noah. Now, we just went back. These are the people from chapter 10 that had already gone past the flood. So we know that the world has, the old world was destroyed. But this is the new world. So we can start here with our physical genealogies as well as the spiritual genealogies. I believe that the spiritual genealogy never broke. And I also believe the spiritual genealogy of Cain never broke either. That one who murdered his brother in a spiritual sense, because we still have today murder. So we have a spiritual line of Cain. But for our purposes, the only spiritual genealogy that we're focusing would be on Shem and the other Ham and Japheth. Even though some very well will be saved, they are not the spiritual genealogy, but the physical genealogy. All right, chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one lip. Now here we go. Here's the word in chapter 11, verse 1, for the word Sapah. Sapah means the language, like Greek or Hebrew or German, whatever. This is one language. It's not the same as Lashon. Lashon had the idiolects, but they were all speaking one Sapah, as chapter 11 states. And everyone had one speech. Now here's a very, very potent and powerful statement that we would probably just overlook if you're not studying with a microscope, which we don't always do, and we're all guilty of that. But I want to turn to something from Dr. Joseph Owens in his Analytical Key to the Old Testament. This is a wonderful treatment. It's pretty expensive. Probably in the 200s, 300s. You can get it at CBD, Christian Book Distributors in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I believe it was founded by Dr. M.H. Dehan, who is a medical doctor who wrote a wonderful treatment on the blood and the life in the blood. It's very analogous to the living God, the Christ in the blood. We have the statement in Leviticus, I think it's 13 or 17, I forgot which one, stating that life is in the blood. This is an axiom, if you will, that life is in the blood. Therefore, if blood is in the fetus, in the preformative fetus, if you will, the zygote, the sperm and egg. Let's just put that way: the sperm and egg meet. If there's blood, taint, or stain in that meeting of the sperm and the egg, there is life. There's the argument for do not abort, even at the first trimester. Dr. Mahan, M.H. Dehan, started this company, CBD, which you can get the best prices for the books that you would purchase, the Christian books. So anyway, that's where I got mine from. But he says right here that this whole earth was of one language, and that was the word Sapah, okay? It's actually Sapah, Echad, of one language. Vad Bayim, which is where we get the word Dabayim, va is just an, and then there's a schwa after the dalet or da sound. Wa means, or va, depending upon if Ashkenazic or Sephardic Hebrew, but your pronunciation, excuse me. Dabayim, dabar, comes out of that, which means, and the judgments by Dr. Owen's standard, actually it's my standard, I'm saying that the judgments, dabar, Deborah, comes from her judgment. And Deborah means ordered thing. It means logic. It means rule. It means the thing we live by. And Dr. Owen says that the words were few. And then the last word was echadim, which where we get the word one, or a particle of that, a partitive of that, which means few in the pronominal sense, or the pronoun, or the adjectival sense, my fault, the adjectival sense. Few comes out of that. So, when you're referring to a few words being in existence by Dr. Owens, that means the vocabulary was small. And I like that because it sums up the idea of the early pictographic society that I've taught my students, that one utterance can mean a lot. And to put one utterance out, it means to be under that standard of idea or word or thought. And being very few, it is less room for one to be tricky in their speech. But I also, an addendum to that, believe that it was very few judgments, because mankind had been living fairly in accord with God, and the judgments were few. Man had to work hard with his hands from the curse of Eden, but he had to continue in his work, his trials. The problem was that man was beginning to want to do something. He was beginning to, which I will continue to read here. All right. We have in chapter 11, verse 2. And it happened, as they traveled from the east, they found a level valley in the land of Shinar. Once again, it's a steppe culture. And that means probably from, you know, anywhere from the Black and Caspian Sea, getting into the Russian area, but the Georgian area, all the way down into Azerbaijan now, Iran, probably maybe Afghanistan, and all the way to the Middle East. So this is the northern Middle East, if you will. This is a the old Iraqi culture, but of course they weren't speaking necessarily Arabic as we know it today, but they were this region. And it happened as they were traveling, very large region, by the way, and it happened, they traveled from the east, they found a level valley in the land of Shinar, and they lived there. And each one said to his neighbor, "Come, let us make brick and thoroughly burn them." And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and make a name," and this word name is the word shem, it means authority, "for ourselves, that we not be scattered on the face of all the earth." Now, right here, this is what happened. Man tried to create his own democracy, or his republic, under his idea, his authority. It was because of the various sepa, or idiolects, that man started to speak on his own terms. When man loses the original meaning of their logic, their dabar, as G.K. Chesterton said, when man speaks without root, stem, and branch thinking, and that is the very meaning for the word etymology, the root of everything, and where it is now, where it was, then man is speaking insanely. Man has gone completely out of his mind. When man does not know what he's saying other than for the here and the now, he is crazy. And this is what was happening. Man began to speak for themselves. As I told one of my students, Taylor, and Brandon, and Sam, and Matt, and many more, you can go back and study the cathedrals and the temples. These temples have a phallic cult history. Most of you know what the word phallic symbol means. And I believe it wasn't just one temple or one ziggurat or one tower these men were building, but it was many. They were the stargazer cultures that we will discuss later on. But what they were doing was perverting the meaning and the message of the stars that were declaring the message of the Messiah. This is the point of this lecture, really. But let me further this. "Let us make us a name for ourselves, that we be scattered, that we not be scattered on the face of all the earth." And of course, they were scattered. Peleg. They were broken. Verse 5, "And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower," the Migdal, I believe, is the term for it in the Hebrew. This means the great edifice. Once again, the edifice or the phallic symbol, but it has to do with erecting oneself into the heavenlies to say, "Look at me and my fantastic erection," which the sons of Adam had built. So here we go. Even the fall of Adam is mentioned here. "And Jehovah said, Behold, the people is one." They're one. And that word one, I believe, is the word echad, and it means they are joined together. "And the lip, one to all of them. And this they are beginning to do. And now all which they have imagined to do will not be restrained from them." So that now we're going from Dabar, the logic of God, to the imagination. God said, "I made man in his image." It did not mean that we look like God. It was the fact that we came from his Tselem, or the mind of God, and how he impressed himself, by himself through us into this earth. And we are in his likeness in that sense. But man who tries to take things onto his own image and his imagination becomes his own type of god, small G-O-D. Verse 7, come let us go. This is God saying us, and in the English it has a capital U, but we know this is the Trinity, if you are a Christian, which I am. Go down and confuse their lip. And that word lip was the word sapa. Once again, sapa means the language. Italian, German, French, Arabic, Greek, Latin. These are all different sapas. So that they cannot understand one another's speech. That's the word sapa again. And Jehovah scattered them from there over the face of all the earth, and they stopped building the city. On account of this, its name is called Babel. Now, once again, the word Babel was the word, it meant door to God. It now means to speak in rambling. On account of this, its name is called Babel, because Jehovah confused the lip, that's the sapa, of all the earth there. And this is the point. It's right there. This happened at Babel. The confusion began there. The peleg, the brokenness in the apportionment of each to his own land, peleg, barag in the Sumerian, peleg in the Hebrew, broke in the English. They broke there. And Jehovah scattered them abroad from there on the face of all the earth. And then we go down after that into verse 10, and it starts saying that these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and he begat so-and-so. So we go on down to the begatting. So we have our family line of the world at this point. But this is the crux of it for this first section of this lecture, is that the divisions began at Babel. There were different terms for the word tongue, language, speech. Once again, the word lashon is the word for family, nations, lands, idiolect, the type of speech, manner of speech, that's, say, from New York to Louisiana, or versus Louisiana. Next one was the word debar, my favorite. It means order, law, logic, logos, speech, thing, the Proto-Indo-European tank. It means the ordered thing. Also, we have, sapa, meaning language. It means from the difference between Italian, Greek, and French, German, etc. Okay, we have Shem, which meant the law, the legal authority, the line of the father, the patronymic name. We are coming from the line of our father, therefore we are coming from his Shem. And then Omer, which means to just say, or he said something. It's a lesser word in terms of the pregnancy of the meaning of the thing. So, but that's the beginning of the first section of this lecture.